Welcome to Selah, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola.
Psalm 3 was a morning prayer. Fittingly, Psalm 4 is called an evening prayer. Some believe that both psalms concern the time in which David had to flee from Absalom. Once again, David cried out to God, and as God searched his heart, David felt a sense of being corrected. By the end of this psalm, David again expressed his confidence in the Lord. Peace returned to his soul, and he could sleep. Please open your Bible to Psalm 4 and listen as Pastor Ray Viola discusses this Davidic prayer.
Bless the Lord, O my soul, bless his holy word.
Psalm 4. To the chief musician on Neganoth, the Psalm of David. Hear me when I call, O God of my righteousness. Thou hast enlarged me when I was in distress. Have mercy upon me and hear my prayer. O ye sons of men, how long will you turn my glory into shame? How long will you love vanity and seek after leasing or Selah? But know that the Lord has set apart him that is godly for himself. The Lord will hear when I call unto him. Stand in awe and sin not. Commune with your own heart upon your bed and be still. Selah. Offer the sacrifices of righteousness and put your trust in the Lord. There be many that say, who will show us any good? Lord, lift thou up the light of thy countenance upon us. Thou hast put gladness in my heart more than in the time that their corn and their wine increased. I will both lay me down in peace and sleep, for thou, Lord, only makest me dwell in safety. Very, very dear friend of mine who now is in glory, Bob Chappell, when he went to have emergency surgery, that was how he went home to be with the Lord. He quoted this verse to his family before he went into the surgery. I will both lay me down in peace and sleep, for thou, Lord, only makest me dwell in safety. What a promise. To the chief musician, again, a Neganoth, the Psalm of David. Again, many of the Psalms have titles with musical notations. This is the first mention of the chief musician. It's a title that is used in 53 Psalms. He was the minister of worship and the custodian of the sacred Psalms at the tabernacle and then at the temple. And these were all appointed by David. Again, the Hebrew word Neganoth means accompanied by stringed instruments. And it refers to the harp or to the lyre, L-Y-R-E. The verb Nagar means to strike. Usually conjectured as striking a stringed instrument. Hear me when I call, O God of my righteousness. Thou hast enlarged me when I was in distress. Have mercy upon me and hear my prayer. Now, when you compare the wording of this psalm with Psalm 3, many Bible scholars, and I tend to agree with them, believe that they are dealing with the same situation in David's life. David has been praying for God's help and was desperate to receive an answer. The word distressed here means pressed into a corner, put in a tight place. Have you ever been there? Maybe you're there tonight. John Corson writes this. When was David enlarged? When he was in distress. Why? Because we grow spiritually the same way we gain strength physically. You see, the premise of weightlifting is to break down muscle so that when you're at rest, it rebuilds stronger than it was before. Faith is like a muscle. It must be worked out to be enlarged. Therefore, if you feel like you've been broken down or beat up, take hope, for that is the very time David was enlarged. Lord, I'm looking to you. This is an opportunity for me to draw closer to you. He addresses God as my righteousness. In other words, he's in a covenant relationship with Yahweh. It was God who had established his kingdom. It was God who had promised him a throne. He's probably thinking, this is necessary for me to go through to inherit the throne. Yes, David. Yes, David. Many times when God gives someone a promise, we think he just puts it on a little chalice and we kind of like float it. And this will come to pass. Wee, 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 wee. It's rarely like that. You see, many times when God gives a man or a woman a promise of something in glory, after the promise begins the preparation. And you know what the preparation is? Knowing how to deal with enemy attack. Because it's going to come. It's going to come. How do you deal with it? And here's David. He's probably thinking, I'm king. Where do I resign? But he calls him, oh God of my righteousness. And of course, you and I know that tonight, I want to abbreviate this. You and I know that tonight, we are, because of Jesus Christ, the righteousness of God. For he made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Why do I say that? Because there are times when you and I, for various reasons, may feel like I've lost that disconnect with God. I've been complaining, I've been upset, I've been nervous, I've been all of this. His righteousness never changes. God hears us when we call, because we are clothed in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Notice that David appeals to God for mercy at the end of the verse. This is interesting. The Hebrew word for mercy describes a compassion that is blended with God's tender love. Here he is going through it under attack, and look at what another thing he prays for. God, I want to experience your compassion and tender love. That hardly seems like warfare terminology, doesn't it? I would think, Lord, give me a few nukes loaded. I want to experience your presence. All I need to know, Lord, is that you love me. All I want is that sense of compassion, because he's hearing all of this noise. David looked to God for his mercy and his compassion in the midst of his adversity. You know, that's great advice, by the way. When someone is going through a time of adversity, I've learned, and I've been so guilty, God forgive me, they don't need a lecture. They don't need a sermon. You know what they need? They just need you to be there and hold their hand and say, you cry, and I'm right here. He says, oh, you sons of men, how long will you turn my glory into shame? How long will you love vanity and seek after leasing? As I said in Psalm 3, David at this moment lost all of his earthly glory. His real glory was the surrounding presence of Yahweh. And in context, the phrase son of men refers to the leading men of rank who had been seduced by Absalom and with them were leading the people astray. David understood their thinking. He knew his son well. And he knew that he had deceived them. He had deluded them. Notice here something, beloved. After praying to God in verse 1, David speaks to his enemies in verse 2. That's really good advice. That's always the way it should be. Before you speak out to people, make sure you've prayed up and spoken to God first. Okay, let me move on to the next point. That really hit home. But that's good advice. Before you... Okay, I will. Thank you. David prays to God in verse 1, and he speaks to his enemies in verse 2. That's always the way it should be. Before you speak to people, be sure you've prayed up and spoken to God first. And I guarantee, when you do that, the way you speak to those people will be far different than if you spoke to them before you prayed. Because 99 times out of 100, when I go to God before I'm going to speak to people, He begins to show me, and I realize, okay, if that was me, I would need grace. If that was me, I would need a little bit of understanding. So I've gone from the jugular to Jehovah. He says, how long will you love vanity? Absalom's attempts to dethrone his father, they were following the path of vanity. And he and those who followed him would pay for it dearly. Whenever you follow vain things and believe falsehood, you can only go astray. Why was it vain? Who put David in the position that he was in? God. And in Scripture, whenever God puts a man in a position of authority and people come against him for whatever reason, they're essentially rebelling against the sovereignty of God. David knew that when it came to King Saul. That's why he didn't want to touch him. And remember, after Saul was killed and that armor bearer came back and says, David, I got good news. Here's Saul's armor. You remember? He says, here's Saul's armor. He goes, how do you know? He says, I killed him. And what did David do? He says, finally, my enemy's out of my hair. What did he do? He said, to get that guy. Get that guy. How God wants us to think differently, beloved. All we think of is revenge. Get even. Get them. That's not the heart of the Lord. The only one that has the right revenge, get even, get them, is Him. And how does He get them? How does He get them? He gets them with grace. How did He get you? With grace and love. Then in verse 3, real quickly. But know that the Lord has set apart him that is godly for himself. The Lord will hear when I call unto him. The Hebrew word for godly is the word steadfast love. He sets those apart, those who diligently seek him. He's not looking for perfection. He's looking for sincerity. You're just following him with all of your heart. And then in verse 4, stand in awe and sin not, commune with your own heart upon your bed, be still and be still. Selah. Stand in awe of what? The circumstances? No, stand in awe of God. And sin not. Listen carefully. Sinful anger leads to sinful words, and then sinful words will lead to sinful deeds, even murder. And what is murder according to the Scriptures? Is it just someone being shot, God forbid, with a gun or something? No. Murder is hatred in your heart. That's the Bible definition of murder. Paul quoted this verse in Ephesians 4:26 using the Septuagint. Be angry and do not sin. Now, keep in mind, not all anger is sinful. There is righteous anger. There is a holy anger against sin that ought to be in the heart of every believer. But you and I are cautioned against being guilty of unholy anger. So how do we do that? Listen. Unpack this. Commune with your own heart. Search your own heart. Speak to your own heart. One translation puts it like this: be agitated and stop sinning. Speak to your own heart on your bed. Now, I don't know about you, but it is so easy for me to get angry at the sins of others, especially when they're doing the same things that I do. Of course, when it's me, I have a reason. Or I explain it away. One commentator said this: when we are tempted to get angry or judge other people's sins, we first need to take inventory of our own heart and see if there aren't the same sins in us. Deal with that first. Get the plank out of your eye first. And then go take the what? Speck. David said this: search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Be still. He says, be still. That's a wise thing to do when you're under enemy attack, isn't it? Your emotions are off the charts. Just be still. Go to a quiet place. Be still. And don't rehearse the battle. Look to the Lord. Offer the sacrifices of righteousness and put your trust in the Lord. Oh, what timely advice this is for us when we are in difficult situations or we're under the barrage of the fiery darts of the enemy. Many times when you're under enemy attack, you know what you do? The enemy wants to use that to dislocate you from doing what you should be doing. Offer the sacrifices of righteousness. The best thing to do when you're under enemy attack is just do what God has called you to do. Do what He's called you to do. Preach that sermon. Do whatever it is, just do it. The enemy wants you to stop doing what He's called you to do. Just do it. That's how you resist the enemy. Hold the course. Walk in the paths of righteousness. Don't let your flesh get the upper hand. Psalm 37 verse 3 says, trust in the Lord and do good. And then, here it is. There be many that say, who will show us any good, Lord? Lift thou up the light of thy countenance upon us. Literally, that reads this way: can any good thing come out of this? Ever been there? How can good come out of this? Or it could be put this way: who can get us out of this plight? Ever been there? Maybe you're there tonight. And you know what you and I do? We begin to strategize. Well, this is what we'll do. I'll do this. This seems good. The Lord's ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. Cast your care upon Him. Lord, I'm giving this to You. And give it to Him. Don't let it just last for 30 seconds. Right? Okay, that's long enough, God. You can change anything, everything like this. When there is, I've been told that when there is a delay in an answer to prayer, God is working out something in me that wants, that needs to learn more of a certain attribute of God. What is the attribute of God that He may be seeking to develop in your life tonight? Long-suffering? Patience? Mercy? Love? Kindness? Gentleness? Take your pick. David asked for God's favor in terms reminiscent of the blessing that Aaron was to pronounce upon the people. Remember, the Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make His face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up His countenance upon thee and give thee peace. And now he begins to think as he lifts up his voice to the Lord. Now he begins to think, not in terms of the battle. Oh God, how wonderful it is to be in this covenant relationship with You. It seems like out of nowhere, he says, You've put gladness in my heart more than the time that their corn and their wine increased. David, do you have amnesia? You're just crying out 15 seconds ago, oh Lord, you put gladness in my heart. It's almost like the Lord's response is, David, 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 have you forgotten all the good things that I've done with you? You put joy, you put gladness in my heart. It's been said that the joy of the Lord is supernatural. It's not of this world. And it's more resilient than any happiness derived from circumstances. C.S. Lewis said this, we will never know joy by seeking it. Joy or gladness comes as a side effect of the awareness of the presence of the living God. And when he said that, he wrote a book, Surprised by Joy. The joy of God's presence was far more enjoyable than that of harvest of grain and wine. Last verse, and you, dear saints, have been so patient tonight. God brings me into your life to work patience in you on Wednesday nights. I will look at again, verse 8. I will both lay me down in peace and sleep, for thou, Lord, only makes me to dwell in safety. The Hebrew word for peace, shalom, it means much more than the absence of conflict. It carries with it the ideas of adequacy for life, confidence, fullness of life. David says, I'm going to lie down and I'm going to sleep in peace tonight. For you, Lord, you are the source of my security. Ultimately, beloved, the two Psalms make the same point. The Lord is David's shield, David's security, and David's safety. And you know what? The Lord Jesus is your shield, your security, and your safety, and no weapon that is formed against you shall prosper, saith the Lord. That's the truth of God. Father, thank you for these Psalms. Thank you for the life of King David. Thank you for the humanity of David. Oh boy, we can relate. Lord, and I pray that you would make us so aware of your presence. There's something deep inside of us that wants to feel it, that wants to be able to just grasp it. And there are times we're so thankful, Lord, that it is that real. But maybe tonight, there may be some here hanging on by that proverbial thread. And as we sing to you, as we lift our hearts, as we lift our voices, as we lift our hands to you, Lord, may you reveal yourself to us. For those that are in a battle tonight, Lord God. Those that are in a war, comfort them. Encourage them. Strengthen them. Give them peace. Give them the ability to sleep tonight like a baby in the arms of their Heavenly Father. In Jesus' name. Amen. Bless the Lord,
oh my soul, bless his holy. Join us tomorrow at 6:30 p.m. for the next edition of Sela, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola.
Worshiping with the saints on Sunday morning and hearing the Word of God preached from the pulpit is a wonderful thing. But if that's all you did, it would be hard to really feel connected to your church. Koinonia is named after a Greek word that is often translated as fellowship, but no single word can express its depth and richness. Koinonia means community, sharing life with one another, caring for each other as brothers and sisters in Christ. Our growth groups are small groups that meet throughout the month at church and in people's homes, where you can really get to know people, growing closer to the Lord and to each other. Check out all the groups on our website, koinoniafellowship.com.
Do you have a Bible question? Do you need to talk with someone or have someone pray with you? If you do, we invite you to visit our website at selaonradio.com and click on the live chat button. We'd love to hear from you. Audio and video downloads of all Pastor Ray's teachings can be accessed at koinoniafellowship.com. You can subscribe to Pastor Ray's blog at selaonradio.com and receive a daily devotional by email. We welcome you to join us for Sunday morning and Wednesday evening services at Koinonia Fellowship. Our address is 500 Main Street, East Rochester, New York. Service times are 8:30 and 10:30 Sunday morning and 7 p.m. on Wednesday. This program has been brought to you by Koinonia Fellowship.